Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Welcome to a further episode of the award-winning program of Listen to Older Voices. I'm Rob Greaves, and it's a pleasure to introduce the first part of a two-part program featuring the life and times of Gladys Buchan. Born in 1914, Gladys has seen and witnessed much. In following her story from her earliest memories through to recent times, we not only follow the life's journey of this wonderful woman, but indeed are privy to another piece of the jigsaw of people who have made this country what it is. Amongst the tales that Gladys will share include stories of her as a young girl, taking Jack, her dog, and laying on her stomach on a railway track to allow the train to pass over her. We hear of the development of her love and talent for music, and of a concert where Gladys and eight others played on three pianos. That's right, three players per piano simultaneously. Then they go one better. So settle back and listen as I talk with Gladys Buchan. Thank you for speaking with me, Gladys. And could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born on the 27th of November 1914. And I was born at home in Rathdown Street, Carlton.
Carlton, which is very close to the city of Melbourne, isn't
yes.
it? It's like almost the inner suburb.
Yes.
So you must be 97, is that correct?
I am.
Goodness me, I've got to say you look very good for 97.
Well, I haven't quite reached it yet. It's in November. I was born on the 27th of November 1914.
Right.
And so I'll be 97. Yes. Never expected
no,
that.
I was going to say, are you very pleased to have reached that age?
Well, when I was born, the doctor said she won't live. And my aunt said, well, she's going to but die clean. So she washed me. And here I am.
Here you are, 97 years later.
Yes.
Well, I think you must have a lot of stories. Can I start by asking you, what is your earliest memory?
My earliest memory would be I could go back to three.
Goodness.
And I remember seeing my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, and I hadn't seen her before because she had her leg off. She had her leg cut off and she was in bed in her own
right.
house. I think it was diabetes, you
yes.
know how they... That
yes.
happens.
Yes.
And I can remember walking with my dad down to the creek to Preston and with the dog. And we used to walk back home. But on the way down, there was a place where people who weren't quite with it
yes.
Lived. And this man used to wait there every Sunday morning when my dad took my brother and myself down to the creek. And we used to go down to Dyke's Falls.
Right.
In Abbotsford.
Yes.
You know where that is,
yes.
don't you? And we'd go down there and the dog would have a swim and everything. And then we'd come home and have our roast dinner.
Tell us a bit about Dad. What was Dad like?
Well, Dad was a very, very quiet man and a wonderful man, and he never argued.
Wow.
He wouldn't argue with anyone, even my mum, because he had worked out in the bush as a boy.
Yes.
And he found that it caused arguments. Don't play cards for money or don't do anything for money, otherwise... that you wouldn't
say. So he must have led a very gentle life with that sort of philosophy.
He did, because when we lived and went up to Grandma, she always wanted to play cards, of course. She was a cardie. And her ones were the matches. And I would hear him say, if you're playing that game, I won't play. I don't play for money. I've seen too many terrible things happen when I was in the bush, and I won't play for money. But if you like to play without money, I'll play with you.
An interesting philosophy, isn't it?
Yes, and he just wouldn't argue.
No.
Mum would be going around the kitchen.
Well, being Irish, she would have had a little bit, just a little bit of an attitude, wouldn't she?
Well, I thought the fatter you sing, it was Dad must have decided I had to learn to drink when I was about 15, you see. So he said, why don't I put a bit of this beer into your lemonade? And I said, what for, Dad? And he said, oh, just to see how you like it. He said, it's quite a refreshing drink. Mum likes a little shandy.
Shandy, yes.
And so he gave it to me. And after a while, he was standing there and he said, God's truth. He said, look at the two of you. Mum can't cook. She's like this, holding her head. And you were moaning about your legs and arms. And I said, well, they're aching. And he said, yes, I know. Well, he said, we'll practice another day. My mum, she was Irish. She didn't come from Ireland, but she was born.
Her mother probably
yeah,
yes.
Her past people were born
right.
in Ireland. We did think that it was Scottish and someone went abroad in the family and found out that we didn't belong to Scotland, and they said to go to Ireland,
right.
that we were Irish. So
goodness.
My parents never ever knew that.
Goodness me. So they died thinking they were Scottish background?
Yes, yes,
how
they did. But my grandmother, of course, she lived in Ireland, and when they asked about where, they said it was Northern Ireland, in the Protestant part of Northern Ireland, and that there was fighting going on between the people, you know. Now, she got tired of it because her granddad, he owned an inn.
Oh, okay.
And his ears were cut off.
Why was that?
That's what they did to him.
Because of his religious background?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, how awful.
And so she just got so fed up. She was 16 years old and she decided to come to Australia. And she left 16.
So young.
Yes, and saved up and came out here. And she had an uncle out who owned a hotel, I think, in... I'm not sure whether it was the other side of the city, but she lived with him for a while, and then she soon bought a house,
right.
and she bought the first home at Albert Park. That's
Goodness.
Where my mother was born.
Goodness me.
And... the others were scattered. Now, she had 10 children altogether.
You'd think she was Catholic, not Protestant, wouldn't
yes,
you?
No. Well, she came and they changed over. They became all Protestants.
Right.
And yet, her cousin was a priest and two nuns.
Goodness me.
They were her cousins.
Did that ever cause any problems in the family that you
know
of?
No, it never caused any trouble.
Goodness me.
And in fact, the two girls often made my clothes for me and for my doll too.
Did you grow up in Carlton as a young girl?
I don't know quite how long I stayed there, but my father was given the job of caretaker for Luxford's Timber Yard. It was outside of Victoria Park Station
right.
and ran the length of the station.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a house in there and we moved down in there, and that's where we stayed until the Depression came.
Oh, they were terrible years, weren't they?
Oh, yes, so they were bad years, and the mill closed down, of course. And we had to get out, and everybody was out of work. And my dad when I was born, got that excited. He went out to Preston and bought a block of land to build a house for us. Now, we lived there for a long time until the Depression came. Then we had to move. We had to move into a half-furnished house. Some of the walls weren't in there and everything. The chappie that built the house lived across the road from us, so he was able to come, go back and forward and work there. Now, I went to school. When I was little, I went to school at Victoria Park, and you know the state school opposite the Collingwood football ground?
It's still there, I believe.
I believe it is. I haven't seen it, but I do believe that it's still standing. We used to use the Collingwood football ground as a play.
As a playground?
Yes, because the schoolyard was very small.
Yes.
And, of course, we were the only school around that area.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, it had to cope with quite a bit. But, yes, I went there until the Depression came and we moved.
You had to move. Did you enjoy going to school?
Yes, I did. I liked school. And so much so that I was running across the ramp one morning, and as I turned the corner, a boy was on a bike, and he ran right into me and knocked me, and I skinned all my face. And I still went to school, and my mother, when she saw me walking down the lane into the timber yard, she started to cry because I was all, and yet I had gone to school and sat there, and I heard her say to my dad, "Wouldn't you think the teacher
would have
sent me home?"
Indeed.
But no, so Mum said, "You're not going this afternoon. You're going to sit in Dad's big chair by the fire, and I'm going to give you the rug, and you can have the dog in, Jack the dog." He always was with me. We went up one day under the railway station and lay on our tummies waiting for a train to come. And really, there weren't any bars of timber along, you know.
You mean the railway line was actually right across here?
Yes, you could have just got pulled out. And all the men in the mill were out looking for us. And Jack and I were on our tummies when they found us. Watching.
Was Mum angry or just so pleased?
No, she was so pleased.
Yes.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
Did you have many friends as a young girl?
Yes, I did, but I wasn't allowed to go around to people's places a lot. I don't know whether they thought, you know, something had happened to me, I don't know. But I had them come to me. They used to love to come into the mill, you see.
Of course.
And we had a big front lawn out the front where the ramp goes up to the station. And so we used to play cowboys and Indians and things.
It would have been a big adventure playground, wouldn't it? A mill, yes.
And Saturday afternoon we went to the matinee, round to the pictures. And when my little brother was born, he was nearly 9 years younger than I was. And he would... he chewed the cuff off his shirt watching a cowboy film. And I put my hand down and he was this all wet shirt.
So did you have to help bring your brother up? Because you would have been a big sister, wouldn't you?
Yes, I was. Yes. Yes, I was. And the mill made a truck for him to sit in, and I pulled it, and I remember putting the potatoes in at the Graces when I went with the note to do the shopping. I'd put everything in the truck with him.
Yes.
And pull him home, and Dad used to keep an eye on us that we were all right going along the street, because it was in Hoddle Street, you know, the front
That's the main
of the
road.
Mill.
Yes.
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 And the only busy things would have been the horse and buggies. And
of course,
horse.
This is the 1920s. Yes. There's yes. very few cars.
That's right. It was mostly the jinkers and the buggies, and we used to get a loan of the buggy and go for a Sunday stroll. They'd let Dad do that as a present.
Goodness.
And anyway, during that time, when I was about five, Dad used to go to the Tivoli on Saturday afternoon. That was his time off, and Mum stayed at home. Someone had to be there in the mill all the time, apart from the manager down the other end. And he used to go to the Tiv. And so he took me, and I thought it was beautiful, all the music and the singing and dancing.
Because it was live, wasn't it?
Oh,
it was live performances.
Yes. I loved it. As I told people in today's world, that laughed my head off. I didn't know what I was laughing at, but I soon found out when I was about 15 or so what there was to laugh at.
Can you share that with us? What did you discover at 15?
Well, I discovered a chap came out, and he pretended to be putting on a lady's girdle. And, well, the antics, you know.
Of course, of course.
You can imagine, can't you?
So they had comedians and they had singers as well, did they?
Oh, yes, yes, they did. Fortunately, my mother's friend, she worked with in Spring Street.
Oh, goodness.
Near the Princess Theatre.
Yes, it's still there today, yes.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it either, Gladys.
Oh, isn't that awful?
Doesn't matter.
No.
But it was a hotel near the Princess Theatre.
Yes. Well, she worked there, and she met this lovely lady, and so they were friends then for years.
Right.
And they used to go and see my mum's favourite person, Gladys Moncrief.
Gladys Moncrief.
And,
same name.
Yes. Near, where all hope is gone and dead.
Listen to Older Voices. The magic of memories.
And so they used to take me along too. And I thought it was marvellous to have music, and because I loved music. And Mum, she couldn't read music, but she would come home and whistle it to me, because she had so many brothers. After all, there were 10 of them.
That's right.
And she used to go around the street singing with them. And she had a good voice too, and she was right on.
How lovely.
Yes, she was good and really. And she used to teach me the songs and everything. And I think that's how I loved music and always have, yes.
But that was a wonderful introduction to music, wasn't it? Going and seeing it live. And
that's right, yes.
You mentioned earlier about going to the grocer. Things were so different in those days, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Well,
can you remember what it was like going into the grocer's shop?
Well, the men in the mill made a truck for my brother. And I used to pull, you know how you used to pull the four-wheel truck along and get the shopping? And he sat in that, and I pulled him around to the grocers. And I think that about 6 pennyworth of potatoes practically filled the truck.
Was everything in barrels and boxes in those days? How did they have their food stored?
No, they used to have things behind the counter and then bag them, you know.
Okay.
And then if you got an order on Friday, you got a bag of lollies. And the fish and chips shop was just nearby. And two girls from the delicatessen, they learnt music where I did. Because our teacher was very good. She had about 80 pupils.
Wow.
And she learned at the Abbotsford Convent.
Were you learning singing, or were you learning to play an instrument?
Piano.
Playing piano?
Yes, because my Uncle Reg had bought a piano, and you could turn it into a piano, but it was a piano.
Oh, pianola.
Yes.
For people listening, particularly young kids, pianolas were quite different to pianos, weren't they?
Oh, yes.
And what did you do to play a pianola? Can you remember?
You turned something and it switched over.
And it played itself, didn't it? It had rolls, didn't it?
You put rolls in. Yes.
So fun.
So you could use it. And of course, Grandma always wanted to hear me play. And before exams, we used to go to the convent and let them listen to us playing, so to see if we were good enough. And do our theory exams. We went to the uni.
Yes.
And this day was my first day to do a theory exam. And so I was first out, and my teacher was a bit cross with me. She said, "How can you get out in that time when you have to look through it twice, Gladys?" I said, "I did, Miss Ryan, thank you." And she said, "Oh, anyway, I won the prize for Victoria."
Oh, you must have been so proud. Mum must have been even prouder.
It was a theory book.
Yes.
And I was so thrilled with it.
Oh, yes.
And as I say, I said, "Yes, I did, Miss Ryan. I did look over it and that." But I always loved music. All kinds of music I like. Some of the music today is not quite what I like. But
look, I'm a bit younger than you. I've got about 30 years to catch up on you, and I find some of the music today not quite music myself, honest.
That's right. We don't call it our music, do we?
No, we don't call it our music. But But it's nice to have the memories of what the music that we liked was.
That's right. Yes. Well, the music teacher had a young brother like I did, you know, only much older. And so he played the violin, and so I used to accompany him to play the violin as well.
How nice.
And our biggest thing that we had was concerts at the Collingwood Town Hall.
Right.
And there would be, at one stage, we played on three pianos with three on each piano.
Three people on each piano?
Yeah.
That would have been something to see and hear.
It was.
That takes,
yes.
That would take a lot of practice to get that right.
And then we got, we did four people on each piano. And all of it worked.
It worked. There was no hands getting in the way of
hands. Right.
Oh,
no.
Wow. Oh, the audience must have been quite amazed.
Yes, they were. She was very dedicated.
Tune in next week for the conclusion of Gladys' story. We learn how the Great Depression crushed her desire to become a music teacher. We also learn how she met and married James Buchan and of their life together. And what were, in her words, the happy days. That's next week, Gladys Buchan on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.